here and to have fellowship with you here. As Scott said, we're going to mix things up because us Canadians, we don't like to do anything the same all the time. So we like to mix things up. So we thought we would do some of that this morning. So I'm just going to share some thoughts from the Word of God, and then we're going to sing some Christmas carols. We heard that you were going to be doing this next Sunday, so we thought we'd give you a rehearsal, a little practice of the Christmas carols, so you'll be all ready to go for next Sunday. And then Dad's going to share also a little bit in the middle there. So let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. I really have just two main thoughts this morning as I've been thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to this earth. And I'd like to just share some thoughts around those two main points. I was thinking this morning as I was going about my morning duties and getting ready that really there's several main events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could say main historical days in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all starts, of course, with his birth. I absolutely love thinking about the fact that God came from heaven. And we'll read some verses that talk about this, but he came from heaven to be like you and I. Certainly he's without sin, but in every other way, it says, he was like you and I. That is phenomenal. That is something I can't really get my mind around. And Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And it's one of the reasons I love thinking about this event that the Lord came. But then, of course, we know that he died. And that's something even farther out there, to think that not only did he come, but that he gave his life for us on that cross. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? He rose again. There's a glorious day that he rose again from the dead, victor over the grave. And I love what Peter says in Acts. He says that death could not hold him. It was impossible for death to hold the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, the third day, he rose again from the dead. But then also he ascended back to the Father. That's a great day as well, because the Lord says, if I don't go back to the Father, the Father won't send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And when I go back, he will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides in the church. But then we look forward to that day when he comes again. And that's going to be a great day. First of all, to the heir, of course, and then eventually to the world to set up his kingdom. So there are several major days in the life of, if you will, the life of the man Jesus, that some of them have passed and some of them we look forward to. But it starts here with this this great birth. Now, of course, the Lord is the eternal Son. He existed in eternity past. But as we read, a body was prepared for the Lord. Now, I don't know if you spend time thinking about this, but think about what that means, that God prepared a body. What was that like? God's preparation of this body that the Lord would come into. Absolutely amazing. But I'd like to think of just the first point is, what are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ was made or became by coming into this world? And it's really quite amazing. So the first one here is in Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll read verse 9. It says, but we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. That's the staggering thought, that he was made a little lower than the angels. Now, we don't have the time, but if you read chapter 1 of Hebrews, God is setting up the Lord Jesus Christ as the preeminent one. You have up here on the wall, Christ preeminent. And so he says in chapter 1, none of the angels could ever claim that they were sons of God, the Son of God. But the Lord Jesus could. He could claim that he was the Son of God. But as he comes into chapter 2, he tells us that even though he was higher than angels, and even though he was the Son, he was made lower than the angels. So he took upon himself this place that was subordinate even to angels. Now, we read earlier that he did it because it was the will of God. He was fulfilling the will of God, but he was made a little lower than the angels. And it tells us he did this to bring many sons to glory, to bring others to glory. And that's you and I. You and I were the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came and was made a little lower than the angels. And notice what it says here, just for a little while. We'll read in a little bit that something else happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made a little lower than the angels, but just for a short time. Not forever, but just for a time, he was made a little lower than the angels. And this verse is one of my favorites. It says that he suffered death. He was made a little lower than the angels. He suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Now, I believe what this verse says. I believe that he tasted death for everyone. Not just certain people, but all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he tasted death for, I think in the King James it says, every man, every person that was ever born and ever lived, he came to taste death for them and for you and I. And it was a wonderful time to remember the Lord. But not only that, but we'll go over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And it tells us here, and I'm using some different translations on the screen here to emphasize, because the word made is also the same word as became, translated in different ways. But it says in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amazing. And I was thinking about this idea of being made under the law. So we're seeing in Hebrews that he was higher than the angels, but he was made lower than the angels. And here we know that he was the one who gave the law. He was the one who established the law. And yet he was put under the law. In other words, he was, as a man, to be obedient to the law that he himself established. He was put under the law. Why? Because you and I were under that law. Right? We were under the law. And as the scriptures tells us, the law brought before us our sin. It showed us that God's perfect ultimate standard could never be met. We could never meet it. You know, I find it fascinating that even those who would tell you there's no God, even those that would tell you we can live by our own rules, we can live our own way, they have their own standard, and they can't even meet their own standard. And they'll acknowledge that the murderers in prison, they deserve to be there. I was watching a documentary on the shooting that happened in Connecticut, and it was a tragic event. And it was some of the families that were affected by the shooting. And they were sitting around, it was, you know, one of those 60 Minutes or one of those news programs, and they were interviewing these people around a table. And every single one of them said, without question, because the question was asked to them, what do you want to happen to this person? And they all said, he deserves to die. We want justice for our families and for these that were taken away from us. The world understands that there is some kind of a law. They don't necessarily acknowledge that it's God's law, but they acknowledge that there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live. All of these superhero movies that are coming out and stories, it's all about good versus evil. Well, where does this idea come from? It certainly doesn't come from man, because man is constantly evil all the time. It comes because God set an absolute standard that we should meet. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was put or made under that, submissive to that law that he himself made. And the amazing thing is he kept every part of the law. Every single part of the law, as a man, he kept. He never sinned. He never broke God's law. He did the will of God every single time, because you and I couldn't. And so now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, And because he was made under the law, we can receive the adoption. Notice it says we receive it. The Lord didn't have to receive it. He was already a son. He was already the Son of God. But we now receive adoption. We are now brought into God's family through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. He bought us back from that place of sin. And now we are sons of God. I've been challenged in my own devotions to think a little more of the fact that we are sons of God. That is an amazing place to be. Amazing position. That we are sons. I'm very proud to be the son of my dad who's here. Right? And I love being called a Paul, from the Paul family. But I have something far greater than this earthly sonship. I'm now adopted as a son of God. I've been now brought into the family of God. So that means that all the blessings that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ as son belong to us. All of the glory that will be forever and forever in eternity that the Lord Jesus Christ receives, he shares with us because we are sons of God. And that's an amazing thing that happened through the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, it says he made himself of no reputation. So not only did he become a little lower than the angels, not only was he placed under the law, but he went even further. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He came as a servant. I love the verse in John 13. He says, "If I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, then you wash one another's feet." If I'm doing this for you, if I, the one who inhabited all of heaven for all of eternity past, would come and wash feet, then you do that for others. He was made of no reputation. He made himself. He chose to take on that place of no reputation. You know, this world strives for reputation. It seeks fame and glory. And that's why John says, don't love the world. It's the complete opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world tries to get higher. The Lord came lower. He came down to the lowest place of no reputation. And we see that in the Christmas story, don't we? Born in a manger. Outside an inn. That's not the place for a king to be born. A king should be born in a palace. A king should be surrounded by attendants. But he came and was born in the lowest of places, in Bethlehem. Not even a great city in terms of Israel. One of the lowest places, Bethlehem. And that's what he came to be, a servant of no reputation. A servant doesn't seek his own, does he? And I've just been so enjoying this thought that the Lord came and fulfilled the will of the Father. He came to do the Father's will. And in that, he placed himself in this form of servanthood. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great example. And so as I always get challenged by these thoughts, if the Lord Jesus Christ did this for me, do I have any right to hold my position over another brother or sister or anyone else for that matter? He came to serve the lowest. In fact, when he came and walked this earth, he was not found with the greatest people of the day. He was found with the sinners and the tax collectors. Came to serve them. And yet often I have a hard time doing that. And if the Lord Jesus Christ can show me that the King of Heaven can serve those in the lowest, then certainly I could too, because I was just like that. In my sin, I was just like that. And the Lord Jesus Christ has set me free. He's loosed the chains of my life and he set me free. And now I can serve others. And so that's a challenge to me. I want to keep going because there's more to think of. Now, this one here, I've said this before, I couldn't say this if it wasn't in the Word of God. Because this is so far out of my mind's reach and understanding. And it almost sounds like it would be blasphemy if it wasn't in the Scriptures. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So not only was he made a little lower than the angels, not only did he did he put himself under the law. Not only did he take the lowest place, but he was made sin for you and for me. I don't think any of us can fully understand what that was for him. Maybe we'll never know, even in all of eternity. Maybe we'll never understand what it means and what it meant for the Lord Jesus Christ to be made sin for us. And even if we think of it that he was made to be in the place of sin for us, even if that's our thought of this, it's still far beyond our understanding that he was made sin. You know, there's a reason why those 3 hours were dark, right? Because we could never see, humanly speaking, what the Lord was going through on that cross. We could never understand as God forsook the Lord Jesus Christ, as God turned away from that man of Calvary, as he was bearing our sin. He was made sin for us. Does that make you appreciate the Lord? It doesn't say he was made sin. He was made sin for us. He did all of that for you and for me. No wonder Paul says it's a reasonable service to offer our lives as on the altar. That's the least we could possibly do, is give our entire lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was made sin for us. And the other side of that, it tells us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We stand before God righteous in his eyes because he was made sin for us. Absolutely amazing what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth. But you know, as I said earlier, it didn't end there. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. That's our glorious hope, that the Lord Jesus Christ was made the first fruits of resurrection. He rose again from the dead. And it's interesting that the Trinity is involved. God raised Jesus from the dead. He raised himself from the dead. And it says the Spirit was involved, the Holy Spirit, in raising him from the dead. And he's alive today. You know, we wouldn't have much joy in our hearts. Wouldn't be much to rejoice about if the Lord Jesus was still in a grave. Right? We would have a dead hope. Paul talks about that in Corinthians. We would, our whole faith system would be in vain if the Lord Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead. But he says Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive. He's seated at the Father's right hand. And we now have resurrection through him. We have life through him. And the Lord says before the grave of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. I am that resurrection. And we have that now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we see these things, there's another side to it, isn't there? What the Lord did and what we have received because of that. So even so in Christ, we will be made alive. You know, as I think about the pain of death, and we've had some people pass away in our assembly and in families in the last years, I'm sure you have too. It's not a pleasant thing to think about. But you know, as a Christian, Paul says to die is gain. Every single one of us that know Christ as the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a tremendous hope. And I remember one of our dear brothers who passed away in the spring. And we had a great funeral. It was an amazing. He was 92 when he passed away. And just an amazing man of God. And you know, it felt like during the funeral, it felt like a celebration. There was tears, there was mourning, there was loss. But here was a person who gave his whole life for the Lord. And at the end of his life, he didn't really remember a whole lot. He didn't know who people were. And to think where he is now, right? Even now, he's been there 6 months, 7 months. Think of what he knows. Right? Think about those first minutes that he steps into eternity and sees the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. The hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't look forward to the experience of death. But death should no longer have a hold on us. We've been set free from the one who chained us in the fear of death. And now we have this hope that we will be alive in Christ forever. And Paul says, comfort one another with these words that this is not the end. You know, I feel sorry for people that think that this is all there is to life. Right? We just live and die and there is no more. I have a glorious hope. I have a glorious future that the Lord Jesus Christ has in store. And we don't know what that's going to be like. We were talking a little bit about that yesterday at the table. We don't know what heaven's going to be like. All I know is this, that whatever it is, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. It's going to be amazing because the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared all of eternity for us to be there with him. But let's go on. Those are some great things about why he came. But I want to think about this thought. This came to my mind. What if Jesus had never been born? What would we have lost? What would be our state if the Lord Jesus Christ had never been born? We know the old story, It's a Wonderful Life. We know this. I'm sure we know the Christmas story and the character George, and he's sitting there, and there's the angel, and he says, "Well, maybe it'd be better if I was never born. Just wish I was never born." And the angel says, "Wait a minute. Yeah, that might work. That might show him just how valuable his life is." And so he gets his wish, and the rest of the story shows the change that would have happened in people's life if he had never been born. Well, that's just a story. But this is not a story. This is not just a tale that's told. What if the Lord Jesus Christ had never been born? John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." We would have no access to heaven or the Father without the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had never come, we would have no access to the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can come to the Father except through me. You know, this verse is being challenged today in society. You mean there's only one way to heaven? You mean this is the only way in which someone can approach God and have eternal life is through this person, Jesus? I believe it. It's what the Word of God says, that he's the only way. The Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We would have no way, no truth, and no life if the Lord Jesus Christ had never come, had never been born. We'd have no hope for eternity or for God. But what else? The Lord Jesus Christ offers himself as a path to heaven, but what's the alternative? You know, I struggle with this because we want to love people and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to show love to them, and we want to accept them as people while still not accepting the sin in their lives. But the reality is, there's an alternative if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't take the way that is the Lord Jesus Christ, they're lost for all of eternity. And as great as heaven will be for us, think of the awful eternity it will be for those that die without Christ. And so we need to let people know, not just that God is love, and he is, and we need to shower love on people because that's what the Lord did, but we need to tell them that there is a hell to shun. There's a hell to run away from, and the only way out is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about witnessing to those around us. Now, we can go too far on the other side, and I've seen that happen, where there's so much about the judgment and condemnation and very little about the love of God. You can't separate the two. Right? The goodness and severity of God leads us to repentance. You can't separate God's great love for us in dying on the cross and the fact that he wants us to escape this hell. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And so we need to be willing to present the full gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to save people from their sins. So we would never have a way, but we would never understand who God is. Colossians 1, we read it this morning. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. I like that. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he as a man showed us exactly who God is. So if we want to know more about God, where do we go? We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at him in the Word of God. We look at him in the Gospels and all throughout Scripture. And when we see him, we see God. Think about what the Lord said to Moses. I can't show you my glory. You can't take it. You can't handle the full glory that I would reveal to you. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. And what did John say? We beheld his glory. Right? Here was God packaged in human form. He came. And without him, we would never understand God. We would never be able to relate to God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is very relatable, isn't he? He hungered, thirsted, he was weary. We see him as a man. We can relate to this human Jesus, and yet he was God. He never sacrificed his deity to become man. He was fully God and fully man. Verse 19 says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ." But what's more amazing is that Paul would tell us in Galatians that Christ now lives in us. That Christ is in us, the fullness, the hope of glory. And now we have Christ in us as believers, and now we can relate to God. Now we can come to God and see God for who he is. You know, some people will say, I don't know God's will. I don't know what God's will is for my life. And I've simply made this response. Well, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Copy him. He's the example, and you'll know God's will. Do what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the circumstances of life, and you will do the will of God. And you'll know the will of God in your life. The more we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we know and we understand God's will for our lives. And then, finally, because we want to move along here, we could never have been forgiven. If he didn't come, if he wasn't born, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. He took our sin away. It's just so precious. The Lord Jesus Christ came to take away our sin. You know, I like this little picture. I saw this and I thought I would show it. You know, that was us. I was thinking this morning as we were thinking of being far from God. How do we measure that distance? How far were we away from God? And the only thing I thought of this morning was, whatever distance we were so far that we could never come back on our own. It was so far, we were so far from God, we could never get back to God. There was this sin that was blocking us from coming back to God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ went to a cross. He went to a cross for us, so that we could be forgiven, so that our sin could be completely removed. You know, I'm so thankful that when God sees me, he sees the Lord Jesus. When he sees me, he doesn't see all the sin. And when I see him face to face one day, he's not going to bring out the book of all my sins. He's not going to bring out the ledger. Because on that ledger, it says paid in full. The price has been paid. Sin is gone. And I'll stand before God completely in his righteousness. No more sin. That's something to rejoice over. That's something to thank God for, that he has taken away our sin. That's the message to tell, that God is a Savior who wants to save. He wants to free us from our sin. We needed a Savior. We had no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he offers salvation. That's a great message to tell. And that's why I love this time of year. People are more willing to listen to that message. That God has come. This little baby, this story is there for a reason. This little baby grew up to be a Savior, to die on a cross. And that's why he came. That's the reason for the season. That the Lord Jesus Christ, not that he was just born, but that he was born to die for us, and to take away our sin. Boy, we are so blessed. We are so blessed to have the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he hadn't come, where would we be? I don't even want to think about it. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have him, and he resides in us. And we don't have to worry about that anymore. I'll never have to worry about my sin ever again for eternity. As someone has said, if this is the worst we experience down here on earth, this is the worst hell we will ever experience right here on earth. We won't get any worse. We're only going to get better as we get towards eternity. And for those that are not saved, this is as best a heaven as they'll ever get. Sad. Because most people are not happy in this world. And this is as good as it will get for them. That's why we need to tell them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for us. And he offers us heaven. And he can give us eternal life. The wonderful story of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are just some thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he became for us when he came in. And there's more verses we could have looked at of what he became for us. And what if he had never come? What if he had never been born? Then we would be all lost for all of eternity. So thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son to this earth. We struggle to take it in. We struggle to think about this great mystery that God was manifest in the flesh, that he came in this little baby born in a manger, and yet he grew and he was sinless, spotless, and he walked this earth perfect, fulfilling your will. But we know that he didn't come just to live a good life, but he came to die. And he died on that cross for our sins, so that he might take them away. And now we have been offered eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that he's alive and seated at your right hand. And we look forward to the day, maybe today, when he'll come back for us. Take us to be forever with him. And we would say with John, even so, come Lord Jesus. And we look forward to that day. Father, I do pray for this time of year. We think about the outreach that happened on Friday and other times to share the gospel during this month, when it seems like people are at least open to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just pray that you would give us boldness to share this great message of salvation to those that are around. And may we see your work in people's lives, bringing them to yourself. And so we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name.